AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
What's up, everyone, and welcome back to a brand new episode from the Lions Cove podcast. I'm your host, Marcelo, and today we have a very special guest.
What's good, Joel, man? It's DJ1K, real name Omarion Dobbins, as y'all know, man. From the Lions Cove podcast. Is that right?
From the Lions Cove.
Cove, I'm tripping. FTO, I call it FTOC podcast. You know, it's real simple. It's real king-like, you know. Shout out to the King, Marcelo, my guy, man. You're doing an amazing job with this podcast, man. And great job, man.
Hey, thank you.
Beard.
Hey, thank you, brother. But to give my boy Momo a proper intro, man, 22K on IG, 1.7K on YouTube, 9.8K on TikTok, DJs, parties, clubs, weddings. I mean, he does it all. He does bars. He does everything. Like, it's crazy. And also, too, he's a hooper on the side. My boy gets buckets.
People don't know. People don't know. But, yeah, man, life is a blessing. I've been DJing for almost 4 years now, fourth year upcoming. And I'm always, you know, around all over Ohio. I'm starting to travel different states, Michigan, Chicago, Miami, Atlanta. Just a lot of global events is starting to happen for sure.
Yeah, add on to that. I mean, this has been my best friend since probably like fourth or fifth grade. I mean, we've known each other for years.
Yeah,
so
locked in.
It's just a blessing to see Momo's journey and see him go through everything, you know, through basketball and now to the DJ scene. I mean, just to be on this journey with him is just a blessing, and to see him grow and to see him be great, it's awesome.
For sure,
I just can't wait to see where he goes in the next few years. I'm just so proud of him, and man, I'm truly blessed to call you my best friend, bro.
Facts, bro. You my brother, like Cello, man. I'll tell you all, man. It's a lot of stories, man, that show brotherly, like things that he's done for me and I've done for him. You always at my back, you know what I'm saying? So I appreciate you. You got the podcast going on, the Cello Summer Showdown going on. Shoot, you about to graduate.
Yeah, bro.
What, 2 months?
Yeah.
You doing the
or three.
Thing. Yeah, you doing the thing, bro. I'm proud of you, for real. Keep going.
Thank you, brother. Yeah. But first things first, let's talk about the tour.
Oh, yeah, yep.
The DJ 1K tour, the 1K Universal.
You're the future.
Fear to Future. So tell the audience a little bit about what's like going on behind the scenes. Okay. What's your first gig?
Yep. So, all right. So Fear to Future is basically a concept where partying is dying nowadays, you know. So it's 2025 to a point where everybody loves the club like scenery. And it's so hard to, you know, party nowadays. You know, you got a lot of TikTokers, like, no disrespect to TikTokers, but it's a lot of people that don't even party no more, you know, and it's coming to an end. So we fear that, and we want to help save the future. So we're going to end up continuing partying in different cities, states. Shout out the first date. The first date will be February 27th, Akron versus Kent. That's going to be turned. And then we're going to Mount Union, Cincinnati, Houston, back to Toledo, Michigan, BG, Atlanta, Alabama, Cleveland, OU, OSU, and then Miami. So we're just going to be everywhere, man. So I'm excited for this tour. Hope you all definitely tag along. And then, yeah, that's pretty much it.
Dude, I mean, it's crazy because Momo actually sent me a like little like preview of everything. So, dude, as soon as you dropped that, everyone went crazy.
Yeah, it was definitely a big drop, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, dude, what's different between this tour and the tour that you had last year?
Yeah, all right. So, the tour I had last year, so we had to rebrand because I didn't want to keep doing the same thing. I like to be different. So, you know, a lot of DJs nowadays do tours just in Ohio. But I wanted to expand, you know. So, and also, you know, I just wanted to show other states, like, you know, I'm like that on the most humble side. Like, I want to bring y'all a flavor that y'all haven't heard before, you know. to expand my culture out there. So yeah. I kind of want to be different this year. Actually, I did want to be different this year. Shout out to 1KU girls. You know, they establishing something that's new in the city, in Ohio. You know, it's going to be a lot of females that look up to them. And, you know, I'm creating new ideas. You know, just going for the future, for real.
Yeah, brother. Yeah. Awesome. And it's funny, too, because Sophia, my sister,
Shout out Sophia, man.
Hey, she was saying, she's like, I low-key want to try out, like, DJing.
Oh, yeah, for real?
For real.
I teach her. What? That's crazy.
Yeah, so.
That's fire.
Hey, you low-key might have to give her, some tips, some, like, stuff on, like, what, like, she should get. Because she was saying, she's like, there's not too many, like, girl, like, DJs.
DJs.
Yeah. So she's like, all right, maybe, like, you know, that this could be, like something on, like, the side I can
Definitely, yeah. She gonna love that. Yeah, we definitely gonna talk.
Yeah.
That's what's up.
And also, too, happy Valentine's Day. Yeah. Drake also dropped, too.
Boo. No.
Bro.
Happy Valentine's Day to y'all. And, I like that album. I think it's great, especially for the generation we live in now. Definitely fit the vibe for it. So, shout out Drake. Shout out Party Next Door. It was a great album.
Great album, bro.
Cool album.
I know. I have to listen to, like, the back half of it. But.
Yeah. It's a long album, too. 21 songs or something.
Come on, dude. Yeah. Going crazy.
Nice vibe.
So, the first question is, what sparked your interest in basketball growing up? Obviously, you just loved the game growing up. Me and you bonded through basketball. So, how did it shape you as a person?
So, basketball. So, I grew up playing basketball. My dad, shout out my pops and my brothers. I just grew up just literally in the basketball field. And it taught me love. So, love, it can come from a lot of different ways. And when it comes from basketball, I made connections from that. So as I grew up, and I never stopped loving basketball as well. The more connections I make, I'm making connections still today from people I meet in the gym, hooping with them, and, you know, talking to them outside of basketball, or, you feel me, you know, back then. You know, the girls, you know, they used to love basketball, watch me play and stuff like that. And, you know, that was a connection off the love side, you know, getting to know girls or something like that. It was a lot of love, you know, from parents as well, or coaches, like relationships. Like, it's just a lot of love from basketball that made me enjoy the sport of it and just the connections from it. So,
yeah,
that
sparked
it for sure.
Yeah, and, like, it's crazy, too, because basketball, like, so many people, like you know growing up, and, like, you haven't seen them forever. You end up seeing them, you know, out at places, out to eat. And you're like, wait, I think I know you from somewhere. They're like, like, we played basketball together. Like, we, like, oh, my gosh, you had, like, that crazy block. You hit that game-winning three.
Yeah.
So it's just crazy how, like, basketball just, like, relates.
Sure, that's how we became friends for real. We didn't even go to the same school.
Dude.
I don't even know that. We didn't even go to the same school until middle school.
Yeah, middle school.
Until middle school, but I think it was fourth grade.
Yeah.
Maybe I was in Center, you was in Lander. No, yeah. Millridge. Wait.
No.
You was in Lander?
Yeah, Lander.
Yeah, everybody was in Lander. And, we was on the same travel team ever since, man. We still here, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
So, tying into my next question, what role did travel basketball play in shaping your love for the game? Obviously, you came to Mayfield in the fourth grade. I'll never forget, too, because my dad told me in the fourth grade, he's like,
they're just... Up. Pops, man.
Yeah.
Shout out Frank, man. Shout out Frank. Goat, man, for real.
Yeah, so he was like, yeah, there's this kid named Momo Dobbins coming in. He has, like, a lot of hype around him. He's, like, pretty good. And it was awesome, too, because, you know, you ended up playing, like with us, which was awesome. Talk about what role it played shaping your love for the game. And are there any stories or lessons that you took away from that?
Yeah, so I love your pops because... Coming from Heights and just, you know, everywhere else, I was just around for real. But getting used to that Heights basketball form coming into Mayfield was very hard for me because it's just a whole different type of level of basketball. And, you know, as a young black kid going into that field, you know, it wasn't a lot of kids like me in the field that got that chance.
Yeah.
And I felt like your dad gave me a chance for real, especially being a new kid. You know, nobody knows me. I literally had no friends in tryouts. I mean, obviously, that's always the mental. But I didn't know nobody, you know what I'm saying? I didn't even know KJ. I didn't know you. I didn't know, I did not know anybody for real. And when he gave me that chance, he made me realize, like, love is real. Like, he just showed some love. I gotta, you know, boss up on that. You know, I gotta make my, you know, make my name for myself. And I did. I did. People knew my name after that. And, you know, it was a blessing ever since. You know what I'm saying? Made some nice connections with y'all. Made some friends in school. Got closer with them. And, yeah, it was a blessing. So.
Yeah, it was awesome. The one thing I'll never forget in the sixth grade when I was sick and Momo, the best sixth man I've ever played with, yeah, always came off the bench. Played, like literally. Nice, Momo though. Comes off the bench. He's playing that tough defense on you. He's not letting you get off a shot. Locked down, right, bro. And I was sick. I think I had, like, pneumonia or something.
Yeah.
And before the game, Momo goes up to my dad, and he's like, this game is for Marcelo.
Marcelo, man.
And Momo drops buckets on his team. Buckets. Right. Momo got the start, dropped buckets. And, like, that was awesome because at that time, like, me and you weren't, like, as, like, close as, like, we are now. Close, but, yeah. I mean, just, like, hearing that as a little kid, you're like, man, like, I could really see this person in my life for a long time to come. So that was
right. Because, like, backstory, like, his dad was the coach of his team, so obviously he's going to start. He's going to do all that. But I was never a hating kid. Like, I don't care. Like, all right, cool. I experienced that. You know what I'm saying? My dad was a coach. I was on the team, so I understand it. And he was also playing the same role. He was small for her. I was small for her. So I always loved him when he was playing because I'm like, all right, I watched Marcelo play. What can I do that he's not doing? Boom. Like, you was always helping me out. And then you would go back in, set the tempo up. You know what I'm saying? So when it was – the day when you wasn't there was weird because it's just like, damn, I can't even see how I can, you know, do better what he not doing. So it's just like, I just got to go out there. And I just got out there, bruh. Start thinking about what you would do for real. Shoot. I wasn't no shooter for real. But now I'm a shooter. But back then, you know, I was just attacking, dishing out. You know, I was just doing what I just wanted to do. I was comfortable. Yeah, man, I went crazy that game for you, bro. I was like, yeah, this is my boy Marcelo. We won that game. That shit was turned. It was in Kinston.
Yeah.
Yeah, yep.
Yeah, and like, even, like, at times, too, like, now, like, looking back on it, I'm like, how did I even start some of those games? Because, like, it's like, you know, like, I didn't, like, kind of like my last podcast I talked about, I was like, I didn't really put in, like, the effort. Like, I didn't, like, I was never, like, that person that was going to give it my all. I showed up 20 minutes late to the games, like, not 20 minutes late, but I got ready, like, 20 minutes, like, before the game started. And, like, it was just, like, you know, I just felt like basketball, I didn't have a love for that at the time. But obviously, as we, like, grew older, like...
Yeah, you know, no, you started loving it.
But, like, but the one thing about me and you is that, like, you know, I've always been solid on offense. That's always been my thing. And then you're always a defensive guy.
Yeah.
So it was so it was awesome, too, because this kind of goes into the next question as well, like... During our sophomore year, like, we finally got the chance to play with each other.
Out of our whole entire years of basketball.
Out of our whole entire years. Like, me and Momo have never been on the floor at the same time.
Not even practice.
Ever. Ever.
Not even practice.
Yeah, it was crazy. So, me and you finally got that chance versus, Valley Forge. Yeah. That was awesome. It was, like, a Saturday game at, like, 4:30.
Yeah, it was early game.
Weird time. But what did that moment mean to you, and how does it stand out in, like, your memories?
Honestly, the moment, it was like I never expected. I'm always subbing for Marcelo since I got into Mayfield for real. Or, like, if Marcelo coming out, then it's either me or Corey, me and Corey, and then Corey subbing out for you or something. Like, it's just always something where I'm not with him, which is cool. I mean, we know our roles. But at the end of the day, once that happened, I'm like, dang, like, this is a first-timer. Like, I'm about to be turned. Like, all right, cool. And we just, man, we was killing, bro. Right before halftime, I think we both had, double digits at the point. And then, we was killing, bro. We was turned, hyping each other up when we was in the tunnel and shit. It was definitely turned. It was definitely turned. Valley Forge, I'll never forget that.
It was awesome, too, because I think me and you had half the team's points.
That's what I'm saying. That was our day for real. Like, that was just, we, like, unlocked some, like, duo shit. It's just never, excuse my language, cussing, too. I don't cuss like that. But, we definitely, we went crazy, though, for sure.
Yeah, bro. We had that, like, Jordan Pippen, Shaq, and Kobe.
Yeah, like, it was really, like, Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown or some shit, yeah.
Bro, that's a great example, bro.
Yeah, serious. It was literally like that. It was turned.
Dude, yeah.
It's a cool duo.
Yeah, it was awesome. Even, too, I remember, like, you posted on Instagram, like, right after the game. Like, that, like someone got, like, that, like, flick of you, like, the number 43 jersey.
That was turned. I gotta find that.
Yeah, dude, then you posted that, bro. That was awesome.
It was turned.
Wow. So, before we get into the DJing part, let's talk about a few stories. Obviously, your half-court shot.
Oh, yeah, man. Shoot, that started everything. That started everything.
Actually, wait. Let's start off with the different stories first.
Bet.
This one's one of my favorite stories of Momo because this shows how great of a guy he is.
Yeah.
How much he means to me as a best friend. Because versus Riverside, sophomore year, there was like 5 seconds left in the game. I bricked the game-winning shot for three, and the whole team was just down. Like, yeah. The whole team was kind of like, why would you take that shot, blah, 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 all this. I'm like, there's a few seconds left on the clock. You just got to get it up. Corner three, brick.
Yeah.
And everyone was, like, upset at me. They were like, yeah, everyone was pissed. They're like, why would you take that shot? Why this? Why that?
Yeah.
And, man, I was crying after the game because I was like, I tried to bring this team back in the game, like which I did. Like, I think in the third quarter, like, I really brought this game back. And I was crying, and Momo, Corey, and KJ were the only three people that had my back. And I remember I was walking out, just had my jersey in my head, and Momo was like, "Marcelo, man, like, keep your head up. It was a great shot. Like, you tried your best, man. Like, you were the one that really took the shot because no one else wanted to. Like, like, everyone else would have been scared to take it."
Yeah.
And it was awesome. And looking back on it, man, like, that just shows how great of a guy he is. Like, Momo's always been loyal. He's always been the person to have your back. He's always gonna support you in everything that you do.
Appreciate
And the one thing that's sad in today's society is that you have best friends that, you know, they're kind of jealous of seeing, like, their best friend win, kind of jealous of seeing, like, people doing better than them. But with Momo, man, it's always been love since day one. It's always been, never been hating on each other, never been bro. Like, bro, like, I'm jealous of you, blah, blah, blah. But Momo's my guy, my best friend.
My dog,
that's one story that I'll tell my future kids one day. I'll be like, man, like, Uncle Momo, legendary, bro, legendary.
No, facts, though, like, my perspective when I seen that. So I kept getting subbed in and out. Ray kept subbing me in and out for defense. So I'm like, all right, or get a rebound or something. So, boom. So we ended up having a possession, so I got subbed out. And I was watching from the sidelines, boom. So I ain't gonna lie, we had a lot of time on the clock, too, I think. I forgot, but shoot, he was getting covered in the corner. But, I mean, I feel like nobody was taking the shot. And I think it was down, like, what, two?
You were down two with, like, 5 seconds left.
Right. It was, like, 5 seconds left. And then on top of that, it was Riverside. It was one of the – it was, like, top two.
Yeah.
Top two teams right now.
Oh, yeah.
It was, like, it was High Seed or Brush. It was, like, whoop. At the end of the day, it was the top two, top three teams that's playing together against each other. And then yeah, bruh, we got in the locker room. I'm hearing shit talking, stuff like that. I'm just like, dang, like, nobody else would have took the shot. I wouldn't probably took the shot. I mean, y'all would have got on me, and then I'd have got mad at y'all. But it's a different story. But, you know, I just told Marcel, I seen him down and stuff like that. You got to pick your brother up. Every trip you ever see your brother down, pick him up. And that's exactly what I did, just because it's just like, it's nothing to be sad about, you feel me? Like, you had a great game, you know what I'm saying? And on top of that, you took the leadership, bro, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, at the end of the day, we beat them anyways in eighth grade, got the championship. Remember
Back.
That? Yeah, that was turn.
Back.
But yeah, bro, like, at the end of the day, proud of you, bro, you know what I'm saying? Still proud of you. And yeah, that's what's up. Marcelo would take initiative every trip. Like, he would take that leadership, bro. He always been a leader, so. You know what I'm saying? I look up to you, bro. So keep doing what you're doing, for real.
Thank you, brother.
Yep.
And now let's get into this other story, the J.R. Smith story.
Oh, yeah, man. The J.R. Smith story is crazy. So, look, I used to just – so when J.R. Smith was with the Cavs back then, bro, so I used to just tell everybody that was my cousin. The people just believed it, bro, and I just kept going with it. Like, I used to be like, yeah, J.R. Smith lived at the Drake. Thought J.R. Smith was my cousin, and then that was just the lie of the century, I guess. The joke of the century.
Dude, but, like, didn't you get, like, a picture with him, though?
Man, you got a picture with Shaq, bro. I don't hear it, bro.
Stop, bro.
Shaq,
come on.
Shaq, bro. DJing. He DJ better than me at this point.
Come on,
crazy
bro.
Work. But, yeah, no, I got a picture with him one time, and that's what it made it look real. And then my brothers did, too, during the parade. So, definitely was going with that joke for sure.
Dude, we have to find that picture somewhere, bro. Too.
Yeah, definitely.
Bro, like, post on your story, yo, shout out my cousin, JR.
Right, my cousin. Everybody's still going to believe it, too. Maybe. Yeah.
But yeah, it was funny because after the Shaq thing, Momo calls me like that night. It was like 1 a.m.
Yeah.
Are you even like my best friend anymore? He's like,
because he DJing. First of all, he DJing with Shaq, man. Like, what?
Bro.
You goated, bro. Like,
one of the greatest centers all time, bro.
Hand big as hell. Like,
just dude, huge.
10 times bigger than his hand, bro. Like,
bro, his hand was covering up my whole arm.
Yeah, no.
I was like, bro could probably like
a clone, bro.
Bro could probably like pick me up and throw me, like yeah, throw me in the stadium, bro.
That's crazy, bro. Shaq just big as fuck.
Dude, and also,
I stop cussing, dude.
No, yeah, bro.
Bleep them words, bro. I mean, you don't got to, but like, my yeah. bad, y'all.
But yeah, that was awesome. He was like, bro, like I can't even like believe you. Like, he's like, how are you doing this to me? Like, you're not DJing with me, but you're DJing with Shaq.
Facts,
like,
though, yeah.
That's fake. It's
crazy, yeah.
I know. Hey, one day, though, me and you will be on stage.
Yeah, definitely. We're going to be at Rolling Loud or something. Watch. I can't wait. It's going to be lit for sure.
But now let's get back to that half-court shot. This is what started everything.
Everything, yeah.
Everything.
It started, the half-court shot started everything. I'm talking like nobody would have never known me if it wasn't for the half-court shot. I mean, people would have ended up knowing me, but it would have took way more time than it should. So... yeah, man, I ended up, first of all, I bought a raffle ticket, got raffled in for the half court shot as a contestant, right?
Yeah.
So I ended up being a contestant. So everybody was missing shots before me. This is the pep rally, the biggest pep rally of the school year.
Yeah, everyone was there. Yeah,
mind everyone. You, I didn't tell everybody that I'm about to leave, like, this is it. Our basketball season over too, so it's like spring. So, boom, everybody missing shots and stuff. So, I'm like, bro, I'm about to airball, miss. I'm about to just embarrass myself. But then I'm like, bro, as long as I don't airball or hit the top of the backboard like Adam Gentis, shout out Adam Gentis. That shit was crazy.
Facts.
Dude, so as soon as Adam Gentis went after me or before me. So, when he hit the top of the backboard, I'm real scared. Now, I'm like, bro, I'm about to embarrass myself bad.
Yeah.
So, boom, I get the ball in my hand, right? Crowd going crazy. They like, what? Like, Momo, like, damn. Like, he about to shoot. I'm like, damn, heart beating fast. Like, I know I'm not going to make it. I don't have any positivity in my brain right now. I got straight, scarce thoughts. Like, I'm just like, just don't airball, bro. Just at least hit the rim. So, boom, I did a little dribble moves on some corny stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And look, we're on the video, dude, because like, I knew what I was doing.
Yeah, he hit the cross behind the back.
Yeah, behind the back. Like, I'm just doing nervous stuff, bro. Just not even. So I ended up, boom, just, Man, I feel like the world stopped at one point. Like, once I made that shot, the world stopped. Everybody was quiet and just went crazy, bro. And then my reaction, bro, shit, I got picked up. Like, bro, they was crowd surfing me low-key. That video was legendary. Like, and then ever since that happened, I got a lot of clout from it because a lot of people in Ohio seen it. And that really made me realize that, all right, doing all this clout stuff, I ended up doing comedy skits.
Really?
Yeah. And then I started doing parties. And then I start realizing, like, all right, I'm going to keep building up on my brand, which is me. And then I ended up continuing DJing. I started DJing. I transferred to Twinsburg. Didn't make the team, but I started DJing. And then I feel like ever since that half-court shot, it helped me learn how to manage, you know, what's the word? It helped me learn how to manage clientele.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Or people around me or... my brand, building on my brand. So shout out that memory. And it's a memory I'll never forget. So
yeah, I mean, it was crazy too because, like, obviously, I think you had like one shot because you bought like one raffle ticket, right? Yeah. I think if you bought more tickets, then you got more shots.
Yeah.
But Momo bought one ticket, had one shot. I think he was the first person in probably like years to like,
make this shot. Years, yeah.
And everyone was like filming it. And
that's crazy. I just told my kids that.
Yeah, I just pull out my phone, I'm like, Momo, let's go. Next thing you know, he banked that thing in, and everyone was going crazy. We could not believe it. We were hugging each other in the stands.
Right,
Momo got picked up, and then also too, you shared it with House of Highlights, shared it with all those people.
Doing that, I was just promoting it. I learned how to get my name out. That's what I did.
Yeah. And then going back to that, obviously you transferring to Twinsburg and then getting cut from the team, hearing that as like your best friend, knowing how much you love basketball, knowing how much all the effort, everything that you put into the game, and that happening, it was just heartbreaking. I even couldn't believe that.
Yeah, I feel like God does everything for a reason, just because, if I was still on that team, one, I probably wouldn't have played for real just because of the politics on that team. And then two, I would have never started DJing. You know what I'm saying? COVID happened that year too. So there was a lot of things that happened that just shows me today why I didn't make the team on purpose. God did it for a reason.
Yeah. Now God always works in mysterious ways. And it was cool because you didn't try out right your senior year.
No, I didn't.
Yeah,
just kept going, man.
Yeah, it was crazy because you posted that first video of you DJing in your living room.
Yeah,
with the fireplace in the back, the BG shirt on.
Yep.
Did a nice little mix, and
it was cool.
From there, bro, it took off.
Yeah, I'm still doing mixes and stuff like that, and then on top of that, I'm doing a lot, so it's a blessing.
Yeah. So what inspired you to pursue this DJing career?
What inspired me? Really just getting it on my own. So I'm the type that it's great to have help, but I don't want to prove and show everybody that you can also do it by yourself. And I'm not saying I'm doing everything by myself right now. I have a whole team right now, 1K Universal, shout out them. Shout out 1KU girls. But what I'm saying is anything you put your mind to, you can do it. You just got to really put the grind in. And you just gotta, I stay connected with God. I feel like me praying every day, and you know what I'm saying? It was to a point where during COVID, I dead serious was like, I was lost, to the point where I'm like, dang, what am I about to do? I'm not about to sell clothes. I was thinking about selling clothes, but I'm like, everybody sells clothes.
Yeah.
I never would have thought of DJing if it wasn't my dad just, shout out my pops again, recommending it. And I did that, and ever since then, it's just been a blessing. So I just was really inspired just doing everything on my own and just being an entrepreneur for real, being a businessman. So that was my inspiration.
Yeah, bro. Yeah. Shout out to your pops, bro. Your pops is the GOAT.
Yeah, man. Shout out my pops for real.
So tell us a little bit about your first DJing gig and how it just happened.
Yeah, so all right. So boom. This is also a legendary story. So my first DJ gig was in college, right? So it was a white frat party, and young black kid, they don't expect it. You know what I'm saying? They just all right, cool. We'll give him a chance. Shout out Mason, too. Mason knows what's up, too. My boy Mason, he knows how ready I was for this party, but also he knows how a lot of people was doubting me. They didn't know me. I was a freshman. And BG, you know what I'm saying? So boom. So I ended up doing it. And I start being versatile. I start playing hip hop, but I also play pop. I play rock. I play TikTok music. I'm playing different type of music people not expecting me to play. And I feel like that gig was so legendary. Shout out PJ too, he was there. It just showed everybody that I had talent. And I ran with it. People start booking me more. Shout out 325. That's when I started doing parties with them back then. And I really started at BG and did house parties. And then, just start going up, start thinking about doing tours and stuff. And I'm still going up. So it's a blessing to see.
Yeah, bro. I mean, it's crazy how one person just takes that chance on you.
Oh, yeah.
And that just started all of it.
All of it, for real. All of it.
Wow.
It's a blessing for real.
Yeah, and it's cool too, because I'm sure after that, I'm sure people started to know your name.
Yeah.
Your name got out there. You're like, all right, hey, DJ 1K, he did really good at this one party. Let's let's bring him back.
Yeah.
Or
it's a blessing.
Hey, we need a DJ. Mm. All right, bring in DJ 1K. He did good at this previous party.
Mm.
So it just spreads your brand, spreads out your name, and truly a blessing.
Yeah, it's definitely a blessing. Seriously, that's why I'm thankful for connections. You know, making connections is important. Definitely important. It don't matter who it is. It could even be a homeless person. Like, that homeless person, like, I'm telling you, like, just make connections. Like, seriously. I feel like everybody got a, you know, a connect they can give you. Like, just connect. Be nice to one another, you know what I'm saying? Show love to one another.
Yeah.
As you should, yeah.
Bro, even that guy at, like, the gas station.
That, like, yeah.
That, like, you post all the time. He's always like shouting out.
Shout out Josh, yeah. So I made a connection with this guy in Circle K. His name Josh, man. He always shout out my tour. He always showing love. I literally just met him, like, just on some connecting stuff. It's just great to have a connect like that. So, you know, I appreciate everybody that I've connected with, everybody I'm friends with. I appreciate y'all. Y'all just always help my career out. So I thank you.
Blessing, bro.
Yeah.
So what's been your most unforgettable moment as a DJ so far?
My most unforgettable moment as a DJ? Oh, yeah, that's easy. So I threw a Kent Akron party in a apartment, and we did not rent. It wasn't a rentable venue. It was in a yoga room.
What?
Yes, bro.
It was in
the yoga room. 2023, man. Shout out 1K Universal again. We ended up throwing a Kent vs. Akron party in an apartment in a yoga room, and it just went totally left. Cops showed up. It's a video. It was just a lot of stuff going on, but it was so memorable because we had nowhere else to throw it. And it was just a disaster, but we made it happen. We made it work. Nobody got in trouble. No drama, no fights. It was just, I'm not going to lie, it was smoked out.
Oh, yes, my gosh.
Yoga room was smoked out. The hallways were smoked out. People was complaining. It was bad, bro. But, like, we made it happen, and we won.
Yeah.
That's all that mattered.
Wait, like, didn't, like, I remember, like, you posted, like, preview of you guys, like leaving, like, oh my gosh, like, what is, like, going on?
Yeah, we was what running is- and stuff like that just because we was just like, dang, like, we just really threw a Project X party in an apartment where it would just never happen. And we just did it. Like, I don't know. It was just, it'll be never forgotten.
So, how long did, like, that party, like, last? Like, how long were you guys in that room for?
I think we ended it around, like, 12:30. Because we seen, like, six cop cars outside. You would think we was getting raided or something, bro.
Yeah.
And we immediately, when we seen those lights, we hurried up, got all the equipment out, boom, went straight to the apartment room, and just, everybody was quiet, bro. Like, we made it happen. That's all that mattered. And everybody had a great time. Everybody will forever remember that party, for sure.
Yeah, and then I'm sure two people will talk about that.
Oh, yeah.
For, like, definitely. Generations to come, bro.
Definitely, yeah, definitely, definitely. That was definitely a legendary party.
Wow. So, as a well-known DJ, you've crossed paths with some famous people.
Yeah.
For sure. So, who's been the most, I guess, memorable person that you've met, and what was that experience like?
The most memorable person I've met, it'll probably be Kyrie, for real.
Kyrie?
Yeah, I met Kyrie before. Not in my DJ career, but, like.
No way.
Yeah, I met him when I was a kid, but he told me some real stuff. He always been real. I don't care about the Kyrie haters. He's always been real. But we was young. He told me, follow my dreams, this, that, and the third. I feel like that's just the most memorable, I'll never forget. But as far as my DJ career, Doughboy, I met Doughboy, E-Feezy, Queen Key. I'm just trying to think. I met a lot of people, for real. I was supposed to be me and Rio, but Rio, he backed out of Cleveland for his tour, so I'm like,
wait, really?
That would have been turned up if I met Rio. I'm still going to meet him one day.
Yeah.
Yeah, YNJ, I met YNJ.
No way.
I just met a lot of famous people, for real.
Yeah, bro.
You know, it's a blessing to meet him and stuff like that.
Yeah,
it's
dude.
It's cool, you know.
Yeah, bro. Hopefully, Pierre.
Yeah, dude. Oh, yeah, Pierre. I'm tripping. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Tripping. Yeah, yeah. See, it's a lot of people I met, but, like, I don't know. I got to really, really meet him, for real. Like,
yeah.
That's how I feel.
Nah, but the Pierre thing was crazy.
No, yeah, Pierre was lit.
Me and Momo both love Pierre.
Shout out Pierre Bourne.
Die hard Pierre fans.
He turned.
And Momo took, like, a picture with him, talked to him for a little bit after. I was like, bro, like, that is so sick.
Yeah, that shit was turned, bro. I FaceTimed him during the concert, all that.
Dude.
That's when I was a super, super Pierre fan, too.
Yeah.
People wasn't hip back then.
Yeah, and now he's, like, low-key blowing up.
Yeah,
I'm like,
yeah, he blowing up now, for sure.
I'm like, nah, you guys got to stay on that side,
right,
bro.
Right.
Diehard's here, bro.
For sure, yeah.
But, yeah, and also, too, Doughboy, Cleveland legend. You know, everyone from Cleveland knows
turned, shout out Doughboy,
who a Doughboy is.
Yeah, he's cool too. Yeah.
Dude, so awesome. So how do you stay grounded with your success as a DJ? And how do friendships like ours help?
You know, me staying grounded as a DJ is just really just focused on my brand, focused on my future, how I want my future to be like, stuff like that. And, you know, I'm blessed to have a small circle of friends that tell me the real. They'll tell me, yeah, this mix is trash. That's what I need, you know what I'm saying? Just because it's just like, all right, if y'all not messing with it, why would I trust anybody else outside the world, you know, that I don't know? Or it could be, you know, people outside the world just saying, oh yeah, that's hard, keep going, but really not listen, or like really just don't think it's hard for real, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm glad to have real friends like you and all my other friends that, and they know who they are, that just always just be paying attention, telling me the real, and just keeping me locked in on what I need to do, you know? So, yeah.
Yeah, and like it's cool too, because, you know, having like friends like you, like in my life, like you guys keep me grounded, because you're like, all right, like, maybe with your podcast, here's some ways to make it better. Here's some questions to, you know, help with that. Like, my mom called me the other day and was like, these questions that you're asking, she's like, switch it up.
Yeah. Like, shout out to my mom, too. Yeah, my mom be helping out. Even though I be like, mom, right? Like, let me be. But she be telling the real. Shout out my mom, shout out my sister, my dad, all that. So, yeah, I get that. And I feel like it's motivation.
Yeah, like it is. It's like, all right. Motivating. Like, even though you don't want to hear it in that moment, you're like, come on. Yeah. But, like, it's gonna help you get better.
It is though.
So like it's just crazy how like that all works out. And
yeah.
You know, it just helps you like stay grounded, because you know, you feel like, you know, you're doing something right, but at the same time you're like, all right, maybe I need to take a step back.
Yeah.
Gotta move in silence for a little bit. Gotta, you know, plan this out first before, you know, I could finally post it.
Facts
or up. Finally like show it to like the world. So it's like, you know, people don't see the behind the scenes stuff, but like, you know, being like true friends and family and seeing all that, like, you see everything, bro.
Yeah, honestly, bro. Yeah, honestly, everything you said is true, for sure.
So, looking back, did you think your path would ever take you from the basketball court to where you are now?
From the basketball court to where I am now? Yeah, 100%, because, like I said earlier, I build connections from basketball. I'm still building connections from basketball and stuff like that. And I'll be telling them, pop out to the parties or whatever. I'll be like, y'all, check in with my Instagram and stuff like that. And most of my good friends, you know what I'm saying, I done played against, I done played with. So I feel like that path I was on the basketball side is still here. You know what I'm saying? So I feel like both of my paths is all one. You know what I'm saying? So I think, yeah, 100%. Yeah.
And also, too, it's probably cool because when you hoop at, like, the rec, I'm sure people are like, yo, like, DJ 1K's here.
Yeah, like 1K, yeah. And that's what's up. That's respect, for real. Like, it's a lot of people that don't know my real name. It's a lot of people that just respect me off my nickname or my DJ name. And they be showing respect. And I show respect back. I'm not no Hollywood person because, one, I'm not Hollywood. Two, I'm not nowhere yet. And three, why not show love back, you know? So I feel like you got to continue to keep being yourself to others as well, no matter how you are.
Yeah, and like, you know what, it's a blessing too, because not many people stay true to like themselves.
Yeah,
I feel like, you know, like I know me, for example, like I'm very outgoing. I'll do cringy stuff. I'll post me dancing. I'm like
me turned though.
Yeah, I'm always gonna be like myself, and I feel like people, like in today's society, they're like, oh, like if people view me as weird, people view me as like cringe, then like I'm just not gonna be myself. And like, you know, it's crazy because if people come up to you and they're like, oh man, like your stuff's trash, blah blah, all this stuff. It's like, nah, at the end of the day, you're still gonna be you,
right?
And you're still gonna continue on your journey. So it's like, you know, people can hate, people can talk, people can do all this stuff. At the same time, like. Like, you're so real for staying true to yourself, because a lot of people would give up or act a certain way around certain people.
Yeah, people's feelings be hurt nowadays. Like, a lot of people. And me, like, me personally, on the humble side, I'm just a strong person on the mental side. And I feel like any negativity I see, I'm just going to ignore it or just go along with my day. And, like, if it's real, you know what I'm saying? Somebody, like I said, one of my close friends, like, all right, this mix not really it. Like, I'm not going to take it as criticism, you feel me, or some negativity. I'm just really looking to it. But I never respond on negativity. I'm not going to stoop to anybody level. So, like, I definitely understand exactly what you're saying. That's exactly how I do it. I just ignore it. Negativity, go along my day, spread positivity.
Yeah. So How has your faith in God guided you throughout your journey? From the basketball court to becoming a DJ, obviously friend, brother, son. What role does it play in your life today?
God is everything. God is the reason why I'm here right now. God is the reason why I'm speaking. God is the reason why I'm looking. God is the reason of life. And I feel like he's helped me with my career. He's helped all the people around me because I pray for them, you know, and I pray for myself as well, which helps me elevate. The more closer I am with God, helps my career, longevity, you know. So I'm definitely blessed to be, you know, a part of God's life, and I'm just blessed. I mean, shoot, he still got me here, you know, so it's a blessing. He definitely helped me out with a lot of things, the toughest times, the highest times, you know, so.
Yeah, bro. Throughout everything, you just got to give your glory to God.
Yeah.
And even too, bro, like you're balancing school, like you're...
Yeah, oh my God, yeah.
Like you're doing a lot. So like just having God as like, all right, I know God's going to take care of this for me. I know God, you know, I'm praying for my family. I'm praying for these things, but I know it all depends on God's time. And when God wants us to, you know, receive those like blessings.
Yeah, and then also like even when the times are bad or good, you know, still show him respect. I still make sure I talk to him just because that's my best friend. That's my, you know, everything, pretty much.
Everything, bro. But the one thing, before I end it off with a quote of the episode, got to talk about our bus rides.
Oh, yeah.
Back in the day. We had a nice little squad back then. With Diane.
Ujan. We had everybody back then, man.
Momo would come on the bus and be like, Diane.
I was bad back then, y'all. I was... little bad kid.
You were not bad.
I wasn't bad, but I was like a class clown. Like everybody that know me in high school, I was a bad class clown, bro. Like just trolling. I still troll nowadays, but like back then though, I was just screaming on the bus, Diane. Diane was our bus driver, so, and I was cool with her too.
Yeah,
I was dapping Diane up every day. That was my dog.
Yeah, bro, in like elementary school, you're like, Diane.
Like, I'm just cool with everybody, you know? So it's just like, that's just what it was.
Dude, and too, I'll never forget when you came on the bus, and that was when you broke your finger.
Oh, yeah.
And your finger was like hanging.
Like, still hanging. Like, it's bad, bro. Like, I gotta get this checked out for real. Because the older I get, I think I might have to, I don't know. But yeah, I ended up breaking my finger. It was my first year playing football. Oh, my gosh. So I tried to do two sports in 1 year. I played football. Luckily, it didn't heal for real, but it healed perfectly before tryouts. But basically, shout out Coffee, man, Donovan Coffee. I was about to tackle him. Boom. Tried to tackle him. Finger got stuck in the helmet. He did a spin move, and it was over, bro. So thankfully, I had, you know, time to recuperate and get ready for the season. And that's what happened. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Crazy. So the quote of the episode, for those that don't know, quote of the episode, I'll say a quote from a famous person, athlete, and just talk about what this quote means to you, and then you'll end it off by a quote that you live by every day. So this quote is from Mark Twain, and I haven't heard about him in years, but this is a great quote. It says, "Keep away from those who try to belittle your ambitions. Small people always do that. But the really great make you believe that you can become great too."
That's a good quote. What makes you like that quote so much?
Wow, me?
Yeah.
One thing I would say, you know, I feel like people try to hate on stuff that you're doing. Like, I'll never forget too, when I first started with the CSS, I tried to move into the gym. My parents were like, yeah, there's like no way, like you're really gonna get this, like,
right?
Like, I mean, it's true. Like, I was like, I don't know if this is even gonna work. Like, I was like, I don't know how, but it was crazy because, like, you know, my parents were like, listen, like, you, like, just stop. Like, it's gonna be a lot. It's gonna be a lot of money, all this stuff, and you know, they were trying to like belittle it, but they're also trying to like, you know, they were trying to make me work for it, and I was like, all right, bet. So, obviously, this past year CSS was a blessing, bro. Yeah, it was awesome. It was awesome. So, you know, people will, you know, try to belittle your ambitions, but at the same time, you know, the great really push you to be great. Mm-hmm. And people, you know, obviously my parents were like, all right, it's not going to work out. But at the same time, they're like, all right. Like, once they started seeing things unfold, they're like, all right, keep going. Even, like, with this podcast, too, a lot of people are like, man, like, your podcast isn't going to work. Like, you know, you don't have any equipment. You just have those little wireless mics. Right. Now look at what we got here.
That's the equipment. I could go up that quote a lot, too, man. A lot of people was like, man, you a DJ? Like, what?
Yeah.
Shoot. I'm blessed to be here right now. You know what I'm saying? And, like, I don't know. It's just a lot of haters in the world. But the great push you to do great.
Yeah.
My mom pushed me. My dad pushed me. Sure. My best friends pushed me. So, I agree.
Yeah, and, too, it's like, you know, I'm sure people have said, like, why are you even, like, still in school? Like, you could just be being a DJ full time. Yeah. But, like, the fact that you're like, all right, well, guess what? I'm going to finish this.
Yeah.
Then I could do whatever I want.
I can't wait.
You're like,
bro, I cannot wait to graduate. Y'all don't even understand. I feel like I'm looking at this graduation date more than my birthday. Like, seriously, like, when I graduate, that'll be the biggest flex of all time. And it'll be the biggest blessing of all time. Like, I really could do whatever I want.
Yeah.
4 years, man. Bachelor's in business management. I can do it.
Yes, sir.
December.
Mr. CEO, my boy.
Man, listen, bro. I cannot wait. I cannot wait.
So, what's a quote that you live by every single day?
All right. So, my quote is actually a Bible verse. So, Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So, I actually got that on my wrist. But, basically, I can do all things through Christ, Jesus Christ himself. Like, he really gives me the strength to get up in the morning, to motivate others, to motivate myself, to give me courage of DJing. You know what I'm saying? It'd be days where I'd just be like, dang, I got to do this homework. But then he gives me strength to get up and do that homework. You know what I'm saying? So, like, I definitely pay respect to him every day. Like I said, he my everything. And that's just a quote I go by. Him giving us strength, you know, so through him.
Facts, too, because, you know, I know you do those Bible studies and all that, and someone told me every once in a while, like, you need that, like, spiritual, like food.
Yeah.
Like you need that spiritual food just to keep you going.
Keep you going.
So, but that'll do it for this podcast.
Yeah, man.
My brother, Momo.
My dog, man. Appreciate you, brother.
My best friend, bro. Love you for life.
Man, love you, too, man, for real.
I'm so proud of you on everything that you're doing, bro. Like, you're always family to me.
And appreciate you.
It's a blessing to even get you on this podcast because I know how busy you are.
TLC, man. I couldn't miss it, man.
Yes, sir. And also, too, this is right before the tour.
Oh, yeah, man. So, can't wait, man.
Is there anything else that you want to say to the people out there about the tour coming?
About the tour, man. Fear the future. Just fear it. Just fear it. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be a great time. Make sure I go to 1kuniversal.com. Get y'all tickets. Get y'all merch. Just get fly for the future, man, because it's going to be definitely something that's going to blow y'all mind. Y'all not even going to know what's coming, for real. So I appreciate y'all for all the love and support, man. Appreciate you, Marcelo, again, for the podcast, man. This is real. And, man, we're going to keep going up all 2025.
Yeah, so make sure you like, subscribe. Make sure you share with friends and family. And, Momo, truly a blessing. And can't wait to see all the cool stuff that you do throughout your tour, because I already know it's going to be legendary.
It's going to be legendary for sure. I've been planning it over a year, man, so I'm excited. And experience it with me, y'all, for real.
Hey, fear the future.
Fear the future, man.
Hey, peace.
See y'all.